prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back. Okay. I was reminded in preparation for this show that, from reading one of the Good Doctor's articles, that it was during the Nixon administration when the United States decided to wage a war on cancer. And if this was measured in the same way that wars are measured, we have lost the battle, and terribly lost the battle. My guest is Dr. Thomas Seyfried. How you doing, Dr. Seyfried?
Very good, thank you.
And it really, you point out in this one article that really nothing has changed in the what and much about what we understand or thought we understood about cancer and the way we treat it in all this time later. Is that an accurate statement, or am I being too critical of the onco community?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we need to look at this in several perspectives. I mean, people will argue that in recent decades we have uncovered a massive amount of information related to the biology of cancer. I mean, there's no question. The numbers of articles published, the number of ideas that have been generated, and all this has been absolutely enormous with the infusion of funds from the federal government. The problem is that very little, if any, of this massive amount of information has had a translational benefit of significance to the clinic. So the what we know about cancer has fueled an entire industry of cancer biology, published in some of the top scientific journals that we have. But most of this stuff, there's a huge gap in translating that biological information to something meaningful in the clinic.
Right. Let's talk about this just for a second, because I was not aware of this, but doctors Hanahan and Weinberg had suggested that there were six hallmarks of cancer, correct?
Yes.
Could you list those just briefly?
Well, I'd have to look, and you know, it's unlimited proliferation, resistance to growth signaling molecules.
Right, anti-growth signaling molecules. And, right.
Yeah,
right.
Angiogenesis stimulators.
Right.
Invasion and metastasis. They listed several of these hallmarks in their most recent article, 2011. They've, I think, for the first time, possibly introduced a metabolic component to this whole thing.
Really?
As we progress through this information, you know, you might get some add-ons to the so-called hallmarks of cancer. I discussed all these hallmarks individually in my book, and linked all of these hallmarks to the metabolic abnormalities in the tumor cells.
And what is the book? What book is that? I'm sorry.
This is Cancer as a Metabolic Disease: On the Origin, Management, and Prevention of Cancer.
Okay.
It's published by John Wiley, the Wiley Press.
Okay.
John Wiley and Son.
Is that where people would have to go to get it?
I think it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and I think it's available on all of the major book distributors. Many libraries will have the book, so it should be widely available.
And that was my question was, can each of these six hallmarks and any new additions to it be traced back to some sort of metabolic derangement or effect of metabolics?
Yes, well, that's exactly what I've done in my analysis. We've linked. You see, this is one of the problems. In fact, the Nobel Prize winner Albert St. Gyorgy described this whole phenomenon as the oncogenic paradox, which is, how is it possible that so many different things in our environment can produce a disease through a some sort of common mechanism, but having such a variety of different
right.
causes. Like, we know that chemicals will cause cancer, they call them carcinogens, you know, viral infections, inflammation, rare inherited mutations like the BRCA1 gene that Angelina Jolie was concerned about,
right.
and P53, the Li-Fraumeni genes. I mean, and there's a lot of these, age, if the older you get, the higher the risk for cancer. So all of these disparate, provocative agents from the environment all produce a disease, with certain commonalities. And the origin of that, of this disease is damage to the respiratory capacity of the cells, which is what Otto Warburg had said, almost 100 years ago. And what we have simply done is gone through the data and shown that Otto Warburg was actually right. His theory was correct. Now people have tried to, morph his theory and try to twist it and make it fit a gene theory and make it fit this or that. It was precisely as he said, for the most part. He wasn't able to explain all the aspects of cancer.
Right.
But the origin he was, in fact, able to explain.
You know, I look at everything so much differently now that I have a better feel for the evolutionary perspective of things. And I what we call disease are unwanted manifestations of the being, but they have a purpose and a reason. Our body doesn't do anything without a reason. Now, they may be unwanted. The results are unwanted, as in the case of cancer. But I can't help but think, and we actually, I know we did a show about a year ago where we looked at the evolutionary model of cancer. I can't think of I should have prepared for it and read the book again, but I just feel like when we look at cancer, we look at it like something that's gone wrong, but actually it's something that's gone right. These cells seem to be going into a hypersurvival mode for some reason, and maybe even some neonatal genes are being switched on the same way they were when we were in our mother's womb forming this massive project of stem cells and replication. Is there any evidence that that is actually what's going on with these cells?
Well, you know, that's a good point. And, Paul Davies from Arizona State University has been looking into this and linking it to the evolution of cancer. He refers to the atavistic pattern of development. And let me just say that, you're right about the evolutionary context, but a substantial amount of life on this planet occurred before the onset of or the introduction of oxygen into the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Cells grew very, very rapidly, and they fermented through this primitive pathway of glycolysis and fermentation, where glucose was taken in as a fuel, and lactic acid was produced as a waste product, along with some other interesting kinds of fermentation processes. In other words, energy generated in the absence of oxygen.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So, and we had enormous amounts of life that existed in the state of no oxygen. Of course, when oxygen came into the environment, there was another explosion of different kinds of life.
Mm.
And that the presence of oxygen and iron and a variety of these other things led us to life to form or use oxygen as a source of energy.
Right.
In other words, respiration became then a new way to generate energy, a new and more efficient way to generate energy. And that now has now become the so-called mitochondria that are in our cells, originated from a life form that was able to harness some of the some oxygen to produce energy. And this kind of an organism fused with the highly fermentative type of organism, and you get the development now of a more advanced biological entity, which eventually became us and all organisms that use oxygen for respiration. And what happens to these tumor cells is that capacity to use oxygen becomes compromised, protracted. It's a gradual loss of the ability of the cell to use oxygen. It's respiration or it's respiratory.
Wow,
capacity.
I see where you're going with this. And so they revert back to a prehistoric model of anaerobic processes.
Yes, now the difference between cancer and the developing embryo, as you've linked in the beginning, the developing embryo will also use anaerobic fermentation to generate energy. Many of the cells in mammalian embryos, let's put it this way, and the embryos of other species as well, will use anaerobic fermentation. But this is a normal process. They have mitochondria that are still in an immature state. And as the organism develops, those mitochondria blossom, and then they will generate the energy through respiration. So this is different from what the cancer cells are doing. The cancer cells continue to ferment even in the presence of oxygen.
Oh.
And we know that oxygen suppresses fermentation in most normal organisms. But in the case of cancer, the oxygen does not suppress the fermentation. And that's because the organelle, the instrument, the structure responsible for generating energy through oxygen is itself damaged.
Mm.
So these cells are locked into a fermentation profile, a fermentation form of energy. And this now becomes resistant to all kinds of drugs that people throw at it.
Interesting. Wow. That's amazing. Okay, we have to take a break. I've got so many good questions. I want to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to pick it up. We're talking right now with Dr. Thomas Seyfried. We're going to talk more about cancer being a metabolic disease. And what you need to take away from this, and I know we've talked about this indirectly and directly before, but we need to take away from this is if it's a metabolic disease, then there are interventions, nutritional interventions that can be applied that can help. And that should be a very freeing thought for those of you out there who are either afraid of cancer, have cancer in your family, or have suffered from cancer in the past. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Carl Lenore.
I want to live longer. I want to be stronger. I want to be healthier, and I want everybody to come along.
Calling out the daytime television quacks.
I want to see Dr. Oz do those things in the gym. He's out there telling people how to be stronger, be healthier, look better, live longer. Let's see him put himself to the test. Let's see any of these people do the things that we do in this audience here.
Motivating the people.
We are the true superhuman.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
Have you tried Carbolin yet? It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbolin, the ultimate formulated to win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carbolin is the answer. Carbolin is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carbolin right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarbolin.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarbolin.com. GetCarbolin.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
For the best in real world, no nonsense, result producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay, sprint on over to BrooksCubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle Bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole all testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Thomas Seyfried. We're talking about cancer as a metabolic disease instead of a genetic disease. So, Dr. Seyfried, why do so many people want to continue to believe that it's a genetic disease? Is there any reason? I know there's a lot of people out there who have conspiracy theories that, you know, the medical orthodoxy is just looking to profit. But I got to believe some of these scientists really believe they're on the right track. Why do they ignore this metabolic side of it?
I don't know if ignoring it is, but I think there's some of that as well. You know, if you've invested your whole scientific career and experiments and hard work and energy into a particular concept, and then to realize that concept may not be correct is a fairly devastating experience. So you have a tendency to wonder, look for holes or alternative ways of viewing this, but many scientists who study the metabolism of cancer recognize that metabolic abnormalities are a key part of the disease, but are themselves still convinced that this is due to nuclear genetic mutations. So that that keeps them in line with the dogma of the academic pharmaceutical complex. In other words, the therapies that are developed for treating cancer today are largely linked to the gene theory of cancer.
Right.
So if genes are driving the disease, they must, and metabolism is abnormal, it must be the genes, the abnormal genes that are driving the abnormal metabolism. And that then keeps everyone somewhat
searching for
comfortable.
That. Right.
Yeah. Well, they become comfortable to knowing that this is still a genetic disease. Oh, but there's a lot of, you know, metabolic problems. Well, I've eviscerated that concept. It's clear that nuclear genetic mutations are not the drivers of this disease for the vast majority of cancers. And the evidence in the literature is clear. It's just that we put it together for the first time in a single entire chapter in my book. Showing, you know, how you can take a nucleus of a tumor cell and put it into a a normal cytoplasm that contains normal mitochondria, and you don't get tumor cells.
Wow.
You get aborted development at different periods of time. So these nuclear gene mutations are there, but they're not the drivers of the disease. You know, that concept, that is the key concept, that the mutations are not the drivers of the disease, and that will have a massive impact on how the entire industry is judged. And that, it's not accepted, it's not well accepted at this time, but it will be, because the data, if you can only ignore the findings for so long.
For so long, right. Exactly. Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. So the Warburg, what is it called? Warburg adaptation or phenomenon? What is it called? Is it
it's the Warburg theory of cancer.
Yeah.
His theory was that all cancers arise from some damage or insufficiency of their respiration. And in order to remain alive, because most cells, if you cut off their respiration, they suffocate and die.
Right.
I mean, everybody knows that, you can only live so long without oxygen and you die. Well, tumor cells, or I should say our cells in our body, have the same thing. I mean, when you have a heart attack, you die because your brain is no longer getting the oxygen. You die from massive brain failure.
Right.
Basically what it is. Because your brain cells can't ferment. So cancer cells cancer usually arises only in those cells that have the capacity to ferment when oxygen in the environment becomes reduced. So it's a very, and we have liver cells. This is why, when you have organ transplants, you see people running around with these little igloo things, they put the organ on ice and you run. I mean, you don't do that with a brain. It doesn't survive in that kind of. So you have to have only the cells and those organs that have the capacity to replace respiration with fermentation for a particular period of time. Now, what Warburg said is that acute respiratory interruption kills the cell. You can never get a cancer from a dead cell because the cell is dead.
Right.
But if you have a slight damage to the respiratory capacity,
it's a hermetic effect. It actually strengthens it and pushes it in a new direction.
Well, it's the cell now starts to ferment. Now, many of our cells can ferment for short periods of time. But the problem is most cancers are a chronic disease. It's over protracted periods of time, the cell continues this process of a gradual transition from respiration to fermentation. And this is what happens to clusters of cells from chronic inflammation, repeated hypoxia from smoking. I mean, you're starving of cells of oxygen.
That was my question. So what causes this hypoxic environment? Cigarette smoking, as you pointed out. There are things in the food chain that are designed to cause foods to resist oxidative stress and prolong their shelf life, right? And these are preservatives,
right?
So we consume these preservatives. Is there anyone doing any research on whether or not these preservatives can infiltrate cells and cause them to become almost hypoxic in nature?
Well, there's some studies on this, but I think most of the studies that are looked at for food contaminations or harmful effects use nuclear gene mutation studies to do this, and some of these kinds of things. But what I've shown is that which has been known for a long period of time is some of these chemicals from the environment, the so-called carcinogens,
right,
enter the cells. And they enter the mitochondria, and they actually slowly suffocate the mitochondria. Now, what you see is that they can cause mutations in the nucleus as well. So people will say, oh, how do you know it's not the mutations in the nucleus that's causing the cell to become a tumor and not the mitochondria? Because there were some studies that were done back in the 1940s showing that there were many kinds of mutagens. Mutagens are those kinds of chemicals that damage the DNA and cause mutations. So there are a number of chemicals that are mutagens, but they're not carcinogens. The mitochondria remains functional. Now there are a number of chemicals that are carcinogenic, but not mutagenic.
Wow.
So they get into the, and they blow out the, so how can you have these chemicals that they're blowing out your mitochondria and they're causing cancer, but then they're not directly causing mutations when you study them on a mutation analysis. Now, people will say, but all tumors have mutations. And when you grind up a tumor and you look at the tumor, every tumor cell is known to have all kinds of different.
Yeah, but that can happen after the fact. That can happen once it makes this transition over to this anaerobic glycolysis, right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's what's called aerobic glycolysis.
Okay.
In other words, you continue to ferment in the presence of oxygen. So it's a aerobic fermentation.
Ah, gotcha.
And you're absolutely right. What happens, and what we have found, and others especially, have clearly shown that the repair, that we have a very powerful powerful repair system in our nucleus to repair DNA damage from mutations and this kind of stuff. And it turns out that the ability of that repair system in our nucleus is dependent on the energy from respiration.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ask the cell, if the cell is forced from its environmental consequences to ferment for protracted periods of time, the repair mechanisms within the nucleus become dysfunctional. And the cell naturally collects DNA damages and this kind of thing. So you're right. The mutations that we see in cancer cells are an effect, not the cause of the disease.
Now, what I really find interesting about this discussion is that the mechanism that is designed to repair DNA depends on telomeres, because telomeres end up becoming like spare parts for DNA, and hence the shortening of telomeres over time, because DNA needs to be maintained and repaired. But yet these cancer cells seem to, in an effort to immortalize, upregulate telomerase much more so than normal cells, right?
Yeah, well, the telomerase actually is very high during early development, too. And this is in an anaerobic fermentation capacity. So the cells are rapidly dividing, but they're not tumorigenic. This is a normal, as you said at the early part of the show, this is a normal part of development. Telomerase activity is very high.
Right.
But then they become reactivated again in cancer cells. And I've written in my book on this, the linkage is with the fermentation energy metabolism.
Mm.
So this is, again, another downstream effect of the disturbed energy metabolism.
We have to take a break. When we come back, I want to address, everybody's gotten the idea from discussions we've done on ketogenic diets and ketones that cancer cells thrive on glucose. They become black holes for glucose, consuming everything that they can. Something I learned from your paper that I was not aware of was there's something else that they can operate on as well, and it's an amino acid. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up talking more about how cancer is actually a metabolic disease. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's asking the right questions at the right time.
I don't care what side of this you're standing on, that GMO is good for us, GMO is bad for us. The truth of the matter is nobody knows the answer. Is it fair to subject this world to this experiment, which may have undeniable, unknown consequences that will be irreversible?
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to Primal-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced Phytoform. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex. If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get 2 bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic raw EVOO for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Have you tried Carbaline yet? It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbaline, the ultimate formulated-to-win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carbaline is the answer. Carbaline is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carbaline right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarbaline.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarbaline.com. GetCarbaline.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Thomas Seyfried. We're talking about cancer being a metabolic disease. Very, very interesting discussion. One that has to be talked about over and over and over and over and over and over again until people get it. We see lots of research out there using the ketogenic diet after chemotherapy, some people using ketogenic diets on their own to cure their own cancers. So, Dr. Seyfried, once you reduce the amount of circulating blood sugar and switch to ketones as the primary energy source, cancer cells can start to die. Is that right?
Yes. Well, it's one of these transition situations, and you're right. You know, to lower blood sugar, blood glucose levels, you know, it's not that easy. You have to stop eating for a while. The ketogenic diet was developed as an alternative to long-term therapeutic fasting. Therapeutic fasting is simply water-only dieting. You know, no juicing, none of this. It's just water alone. And our bodies evolved to survive for substantial periods, you know, depending on your body mass, for weeks to months without any food at all. The ketogenic diet, and what happens during those periods of time is your blood sugar goes down, your blood glucose, and the ketones, which are byproducts of fat metabolism, are then elevated. This is an evolutionary adaptation.
Yeah, it falls into the metabolic flexibility category, which is one of the gifts from our ancestors. The reason we survived is because we had that flexibility.
We have it. Actually, I like to use the term that, the human evolved to starve. I mean, our existence on the planet was almost eliminated on numerous occasions, but for our ability to go long periods of time without food, among other things.
Right.
But certainly we can go a lot longer than many animals and still remain active. And we don't go into a state of hibernation. I mean, we're still very active, yet we're not eating food. And that becomes, that's a metabolic flexibility that all of the cells in our body, have the capacity to do. Now, of course, when we live in an environment where high caloric foods are abundant on every corner and we're always, saturated, we rarely, if ever, re-engage our evolutionarily conserved programs to survive. So we, for the most part, most people just, don't do this. And one of the things that was developed was the ketogenic diet, and this came about in an attempt to manage refractory seizures in children.
Mm-hmm.
And it was found that by a number of neurologists in the early part of the 20th century, that fasting, water only fasting, was probably one of the best cures, or at least a short term cure for epilepsy. And people were wondering, what's going on? How do you stop epileptic seizures by just, stopping food intake?
Right.
And it was realized that blood sugar goes down and ketones go up. So they said, well, this was Wilder back in 1921. Is there a diet or something that we can do to replicate this? And they came up with this high-fat, low-carbohydrate diet that recreated the metabolic physiology that one would see in therapeutic fasting. So basically, the ketogenic diet is well used. It's used for in many of the top medical centers for managing refractory seizures in children with epilepsy. Johns Hopkins is a leading institution for this. So what we did was simply adapt that concept to the problem of cancer. And cancer, as you've mentioned, they if you're going to ferment, if the cell uses a fermentation energy metabolism, what is the fuel for fermentation? And invariably, it's glucose. Almost all cancers ferment, and the fuel that they use is glucose. So the issue then is if you restrict or block or reduce the amount of glucose to the tumor cell, will you be able to restrict the growth of that cell? And the answer is yes. Okay, and it works. And the other alternative is that when the ketones go up, which are used now by the normal cells of our body, which evolved to use these ketones,
right,
when food became
but
sparse.
Cancer can't.
It can't because you need a good mitochondria to manage these ketones. They don't have it. It's just like when you said people don't get it, the scientists in the field don't get it either.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I find it to be absolutely remarkable. You look at some of the top articles in the cancer energy metabolism, and they're always looking for a drug that's going to lower glucose, but not hurt the normal cells. And it's ketogenic diets will do that. I mean, the problem with the ketogenic diet, it's not profitable.
That's
that's the problem. The problem is that you can't make money on a ketogenic diet.
Yeah.
And cancer is a
And I'm glad you said it, because I always look like a conspiracy theorist when I start to draw those lines. But that's the absolute truth. Now, something else I learned from you that I did not know about was that there's another fuel source for cancer cells, and it's glutamine. Is that right?
Yeah, and I'll speak on that in 1 second.
Okay.
Because a lot of people come to me and they say about this ketogenic, well, Jesus, if you're so right and this thing is so great, how come we're not doing this?
Yeah.
And the answer is, who's going to pay for the clinical trial to do it?
Yeah, there's no money to be made.
Well, you have to realize that who is going to step forward and pay for clinical trials to test the ketogenic?
I know who should step forward. The American Cancer Society, the Susan G. Komen, who only takes 20 cents out of every dollar and reinvests it back in cancer research. All these organizations who have built empires on top of this disease, they should fork over the money and do the research, because the pharmaceutical industry is not going to do it unless they can find the ketogenic pill where they just, well, here. And actually, there's a guy who's going to be advertising on my show very shortly, Patrick Arnold, who has a company called Prototype Nutrition, who has keto salts. Called Keto Force, and it raises blood ketone levels in 5 minutes after drinking down a couple shots of this stuff. So, but the bottom line is, you're right. But those organizations out there that are profiting, that have committed to cure cancer, they should be dumping the money into this.
Yeah, but the problem is they're putting money into those therapies, which they're hoping to will be a pill that will be the ketogenic diet, but it's not there.
Right.
And the ketogenic diet. Let me say another thing. People think that this is a cure for cancer. The ketogenic diet is. I never said this, and people who work in the field don't say this. It's only the first step in preparing the body for a series of diet drug therapies that will provide longer-term, non-toxic management to the disease.
Right.
This is a very different statement than saying this will cure the cancer. Yeah. People have to recognize that. This is it's a chronic disease that's going to take a considerable amount of time and energy and we're at the very beginning of these kinds of studies. I mean, we've developed some of the best animal models for the disease here at Boston College. These models can provide us with the clue as to which combination of diets and drugs will work the best to manage the disease long term without producing toxicity. This is the strategy. And, you know, people can dump the money into these immunotherapies and all this kind of stuff. They're tremendously toxic.
Right.
The death rate is high. I mean, people go and take these cancer therapies and their risk of death increases from taking
from
the
secondary. In fact, I once said on the show, and I was quoted numerous times, that treating cancer with chemotherapy is akin to burning the house down to get a stain out of the carpet.
Well, you know, I mean, the other thing is that how many diseases do we know where we have to nuke and poison people to make them well?
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And that's because the diseases, once you view this as a metabolic disease, those kinds of therapies become absurd. You know, it's just incredible. So the goal here is, can metabolic therapy achieve or better the best prognosis that the radiation and chemo can do? And my view is that it can. I think we can achieve the same level of success or even better success when we treat the disease as a metabolic disease, but we're at the early stages of this research, and you know, some of the very successful drugs like Herceptin and Gleevec, they're targeting the same pathways targeted by the ketogenic diet.
Yeah.
So except that those drugs do it in only a few people that have those so-called mutations on their surface that allow that drug to work. The ketogenic diet does not discriminate against anyone that has a particular mutation.
Well, there's something else the ketogenic diet does. Okay, the ketogenic diet is also a method of providing a prophylactic against cancer, and this is an important attribute. So there's a doctor in California I've heard of. Only talked to when I started doing a lot of stuff on ketogenic diets, where he espouses getting ketone levels into some sort of zone and then staying there for a week or so or two to kind of vanquish any potential cells that could become cancer cells right out of the body.
Yeah, well, I have that in my chapter on prevention discusses that whole strategy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you're the doctor I've been quoting, and I just don't know his name all this time. What about glutamine, real quick?
Yeah, glutamine is a very important issue. It's an amino acid, the most abundant amino acid in our body. It plays such an important role in the urea cycle and in the brain for neurotransmitter metabolism. I mean, glutamine is one of those ubiquitous amino acids that is linked to many critical metabolic processes to keep our body functional. Now, true, the tumor cells will ferment glucose, but at the same time, they also have a propensity to take in significant amounts of glutamine. And glutamine and glucose together work synergistically to drive energy metabolism in the tumor cells. So, I mean, without the glucose, the glutamine is far less capable of driving the tumor in the absence of glucose.
Okay.
Nevertheless, the tumor cells can still use glutamine to survive, and it's much more difficult to target the glutamine than it is to target the glucose.
I was just going to say because if you're on a ketogenic diet, you're still eating some amount of protein.
Yeah, but it's one of degree, and you know the whole thing is can normal cells outcompete the tumor cells for the restricted availability of nutrients? Mm-hmm. So you're hoping we have not yet found the ideal drug to target glutamine non-toxically. And I want to mention
right.
that because we used a drug called Don. It's a glutamine analog, and it was able to significantly reduce systemic metastatic cancer. But it came at a risk, and that was the reduced health and viability of the mouse. And it has toxicity in humans as well.
Well, let's face it, glutamine is an important amino acid for the body. And that's part of the problem that I have with a lot of cancer drugs, right? A lot of cancer drugs, it's almost like, the police won't just spray a building with gunfire when there's 16 hostages and two perps. You know, they like, no, we can't kill all the innocent people while we kill the perps. But the medical community has no problem taking that approach with cancer. They're like, well, you know, we're going to have some collateral damage to the body, but we're going to get those cancer cells. And I don't understand that, especially when, you know, the Hippocratic Oath says, you know, first do no harm. These drugs do terrible harm.
Well, the balance is, of course, is that their view, you know, I know many, there's many tremendously good physicians, oncologists and things like this. The view is that this kind of therapy has a chance of curing an individual. But you're right, it comes at a terrible, terrible price for many cancer patients, not all, that you may be suffering for long periods of time from the adverse effects of the therapy that was used to kill the tumor. So you're right. I mean, it's just how far can we push your body to a near-death experience with the hope that we're going to kill the cancer cells? And this comes from the idea that the tumor cells are less, and for whatever reason, people think they're hardy and they're tough and they're resistant to this and that. Then why you're treating them with toxic drugs and radiation, and the cancer cells are dying faster than the normal cells are dying. So if they were so hardy and tough, they should be stronger and live longer.
Right, exactly.
But they don't. They die. But the problem is that in the treatments that people use, these toxic chemicals and radiation, they create a microenvironment that frees up glucose and glutamine to come back and rescue those
mm-hmm.
tumor cells.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can only do so much poison and radiation to a patient before it no longer works. So my view, and the view of those of us who understand that cancer is a metabolic disease, is we can kill those tumor cells by raising the energy metabolism of our normal cells, and then putting indirect pressure on those tumor cells with the help of certain diets and drugs,
right,
in a non-toxic way. And you'll achieve the same endpoint without the horrific side effects that most of the modern cancer therapies are associated with.
We have to take a break, and then I have a question from Adele Musa, who's a contributor to the show. He has a very logical question about antioxidants when we come back from the break. But are you getting organizations like the American Cancer Society, are they praising you? Are they sitting back and waiting to see who else thinks you've got it right? What kind of reaction are you getting from your peers?
Well, I think the physician groups, certain physician groups are rallying significantly behind this approach. Those who are on the front line, the major medical schools, you know, they're steeped in the whole gene theory.
Right.
So, I mean, if your whole view of the disease is in a
if you think the world is flat, you're not going to get in a boat and just start sailing. Let's put it that way.
You know, it's just you can't change. I mean, this is a big thing. The gene theory of cancer is all the textbooks and everything. I mean, obviously, people must think it's right if it's in all these books, right?
Right. Yeah, but that's why science is supposed to have the flexibility to change positions. You're not supposed to be so steeped in a position that you ignore unfolding science, and that's a problem with science today. Look, let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, I've got another question for you that was actually submitted by Adele Musa. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. This is one of those things I think it's going to be 30 years from now, and people are going to go, oh, damn, this didn't work out right.
He's serving up an all-you-can-eat buffet of brain food.
It's gotten worse for us who are overweight because we're now paying our fair share for things that we didn't have to before.
Get it while it's hot.
The fact that there's only 50% of the population is obese, that means the other 50% is doing something different.
You're listening to your daily dose of wisdom. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach.
lead.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dyes. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get two bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Thomas Seyfried. We're talking about cancer being viewed as a metabolic disease. This is an important discussion, one that you should share with everyone you know. Because this is something that has to be said over and over again, almost like a grassroots effect. Because as people start to get this notion, they'll start asking doctors the right questions as well. And that'll force things to change. So Adel Moussa points something out. He asks, where do antioxidants fall into all of this? We know that antioxidants can have some beneficial effects, but we also know that they could also, in the era of cancer and tumor growth, they can, reactive oxygen species plays a role in destroying tumor cells. And this is actually part of the push-pull of IGF-1. IGF-1 is not only a growth signal, but it's also a powerful antioxidant. So where do antioxidants fall into this whole discussion, Dr. Seyfried?
Well, antioxidants are important for cancer prevention. So, I mean, if you wanted, where does cancer come from in the first place? It comes from damage to the respiration of the cell. reactive oxygen species will damage the respiration of the cell. So if you can reduce the reactive oxygen species, you can potentially prevent the development of cancer, because if you keep your mitochondria healthy, cancer cannot form if it's a mitochondrial metabolic disease. So keeping the mitochondria healthy by therapeutic fasting, antioxidants, a variety of these kinds of things, or vitamins that enhance respiratory function, all of that will be very important in the prevention of the disease. However, once the disease starts, now you have a different issue here. So many of the therapies that are used to kill cancer cells actually increase reactive oxygen species, making the cancer cells more vulnerable to this. So this is why I'm working with Dominic D'Agostino at the University of South Florida, where we use a combination of the calorie-restricted ketogenic diet and hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Mm. So what happens now is that you lower the blood glucose to the cancer cells. You also lower the glucose to the pentose pathway, the pentose phosphate pathway, which provides antioxidants to the tumor cell. So the same fuel, glucose, is used for the pentose pathway as well as the glycolytic pathway. And then we elevate ketones. Now, ketones will protect normal cells against reactive oxygen damage. Richard Veach at the NIH clearly showed this, and others have shown.
Really?
So what we do is we lower the fuel that's driving the tumor cells, making them vulnerable to oxidative damage, and then we use hyperbaric oxygen. And that now the normal cells are totally protected, and the tumor cells explode in a non-toxic way. I mean, and it works. It works on people. It works on the mouse. And of course, you know, it kills the tumor cells the same way that radiation kills the tumor cells, but without the toxicity.
Right, without the fallout, so to speak.
Yeah, and it works the same thing. So you protect your normal cells, you make the tumor cells vulnerable. This is a metabolic disease. There are so many nifty, non-toxic ways that you can eliminate tumor cells. It's just that nobody's tried any of this.
Plug your book again for those out there who want to get a copy of this for themselves. If you're a clinician, if you are a lay person worried about cancer or know someone who's had cancer, what's the name of the book again?
It's called Cancer as a Metabolic Disease on the Origin, Management, and Prevention of Cancer.
And it can be had at Amazon.com?
Yeah, Amazon, all the major book distributors. It's published by John Wiley Press.
Yeah. Also, in February of next year, you are lecturing in Phoenix, Arizona. Is that right?
Yeah, to the Naturopathic Oncology Organization.
And I got to believe that, okay, so I think the allopathic community, you know, pills, drugs, chemo, radiation, and all that sort of stuff, but I got to believe that the naturopathic community is going to embrace this message.
Yeah, I think they are, and they're very excited about it. You know, the problem, of course, is they give high-dose glutamine to many of their cancer patients to rebuild their immune system from the cancer therapies. You know, as we just discussed here, glutamine could potentially rescue tumor cells. And this, of course, is now causing a tremendous amount of anxiety in that field.
Sure.
And the question that, you know, I say to them, I say, well, you know, we get our patients, you know, their immune system has been blown out by the cancer therapies, and now, you know, the cancer is in remission, and now we're going to try to rebuild their immune system.
And wake the cancer back up.
Yeah, and it doesn't grow nearly as fast as the normal immune system, so the patients, you know, recover very quickly, and they do well on the glutamine. So they said, well, how are we going to deal with this situation? And I said, what are you irradiating and poisoning the patients in the first place for?
Right.
And there's no answer to that.
But theoretically, what you would think that they should do is to prescribe a ketogenic diet as a post-therapy to whatever radiation and so on occurred. And then the glutamine would not have the potential effect that it does in the presence of glucose, right?
Yeah, well, that's certainly one strategy. You know, the whole strategy is, you know, how many different ways, or how can we approach this situation to the best outcome for the patient, with the knowledge that we have about what these tumor cells are using to survive. And I think this will become more and more apparent as we begin to investigate more of these therapeutic options. But, you know, just the being aware of what's going on and what happens, especially in the poor brain cancer patients that have radiation, temozolomide, chemotherapy, and high-dose steroids. I mean, this creates the perfect metabolic storm for the demise of the patient. I mean, and they don't change. No matter what we say, we cannot change the standard of care for brain cancer patients. The majority of the with a metabolic brain cancer are radiated, and they give temozolomide and steroids, and these tumors have infections of cytomegalovirus, which fuels the metabolism even more. I mean, it's a tragedy. If you understand what the nature of the disease is, and then you see how patients are being treated, it's tragic. Yeah. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It is. Last question. Are you getting any fallout or any kind of pushing back from agencies that have authority over, namely like the FDA, right? So you're promoting this approach, identifying a diet that could have a therapeutic effect. I got to believe that the FDA, who works very hard to protect its clients, doesn't like this kind of message. Anything happening in that area?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the ketogenic diet is used in children with epilepsy.
Right.
I mean, this is not a toxic thing.
Right, right.
I mean, if they should be concerned, why are they not concerned about the poison?
But you got to remember, cancer is a bigger money maker than epilepsy. And so there are actual industry organizations that do nothing but lobby and protect chemotherapy. You know, that's all they do. It's like, just like the beef people have their organizations and the milk people have, the chemotherapy people have their organizations that go to Washington and meet with, lawmakers and make sure that chemotherapy is protected as a viable, alternative for cancer treatment, because they recognize that the cat is out of the bag and there's a lot of people pushing back at this. So they now lobby government and they spend money to promote and protect chemotherapy. They probably don't like this message, I would imagine. They're like, wow, if this starts spreading around, who's going to get chemotherapy?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what the cancer patients have to come to recognize this. Then are they supporting the business community or do they want to get healthy? I mean, the people are in charge of their own destiny.
Yes.
I mean, knowledge is the basis for what we need to have. And unfortunately, a lot of people just turn their soul and their existence over to an organization that has less than a perfect track record.
Yeah.
I mean, and let's not be misunderstood here, because there are a lot of current therapies that seem to work fine on certain populations of people. But the death rate for cancer has not changed significantly in a long time, and the number of new cancer cases continues to increase. So I mean, unless there's going to be a real shift in our understanding, there's not going to be any change.
Yeah.
There's not going to be any change. Profits will continue to be made at enormous rates, and people will still be dying from the disease, and there'll be no change.
Right.
It comes to the individual themselves. What do they think is best for them? You know, look at the track record of the therapies that they're getting. You know, please look at those numbers. In my book, I mean, what are they going to say? I mean, what can they say? I have all the data there. I mean, it's not what I'm saying. It's what you know, 75 years, 100 years of cancer research has been saying.
Right, right.
You know, so, I mean, then you have to ignore all of the things. You have to ignore everything I said in the book. Then just ignore it and go on your way. I mean, this is the way. Otherwise, nothing's going to change.
Yeah. I think it's wonderful what you're doing, and I think what the thing that you really bring to the table is that you bring all the science and line it up and go, look, forget about what I'm saying. You look at it and you decide for yourself. And I think that's the only way you can have a valid position in this discussion. Otherwise, you're seen as a zealot, I mean, too many people, so many of us know that there's something wrong, but when we articulate it, quite often we become emotionally involved or invested in it. But when you put the science together and go, look, you know, this is 75 years of your research that shows that you're failing, and then look at this research over here, and it's like, how can you argue with that? It's just very sensible.
Yeah. You know? Well, sensible things don't always work in many different areas of human endeavor.
Yes, but that's why I'm a firm believer in grassroots. So, you know, the pharmaceutical industry hopes for grassroots. They run a commercial hoping you walk into your doctor and say, hey, what about this pill? Well, this is the same phenomenon here. We're spreading this word, hopefully opening some eyes, making some people think and rethink. Buy the book on Amazon. I'm looking at it right now. Fantastic book. I'm going to buy it myself. Buy the book on Amazon. Spread the word. Because then what happens is, when someone you know, Like my brother, we ran an old show yesterday, in light of this interview we're going to do today. So back in 2009, my brother-in-law was diagnosed with lymphoma, and he had a 2.5 centimeter mass in his stomach, and he had, when they did that, radio-tagged, so they could see where the cancer is. There's something called the ring of Langerhans in the neck, and he had all this. He had cancer in all these different areas, and it was lymphoma. And right. He had a port put in his abdomen for chemotherapy. And at that time, I said he was huge, huge fan of eating bread and pasta and lots of carbs, very big, big carb guy. And so I convinced him to cut the carbs, go just to green leafy vegetables only for his carbohydrates. Very difficult for him. And basically, effectively, a low-carbohydrate diet, ultra-low-carbohydrate diet. And then he took ginger extract at the same time, which has been shown. The gingerols and the shogols and ginger extract are actually being used right now in experimental cancer treatment. There's a company in Canada that's synthesizing a gingerol at $13 a milligram for cancer treatment. And so 6 weeks, he did this for 6 weeks, and then when he went in for his CT scan, they couldn't find the mass any longer. So then they went ahead and they did the whole workup again, and the cancer was gone. And when he said to the doctor, and I was there with him, this was in Scottsdale, or Tucson, at the cancer research clinic up there. And when he said to the doctor, well, I've been eating low carb and taking ginger, and the doctor, before he could get the sentence out, he just dismissed him. That had no effect on this. He goes, that had no effect on this. And I thought, ignorant. I mean, when you ignorant, the word ignorant means to ignore things. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean you're stupid because you have an IQ problem. It means you're stupid because you're not willing to see something that's sitting in front of your face. And I thought how ignorant this doctor is not to ask him, tell me more. He just dismissed it. And I said to the doctor, how many times have you seen this, doc? He said, what? This mass go away and the lymphoma go away. He goes, well, always does after chemotherapy. I said, no. How many times have you seen it? You put the port in his stomach, and now you have to remove it. You never gave him chemotherapy. He says, well, I've never seen it before like that. And I said, how long have you been doing this? He says, 25 years. And I thought to myself, and so you don't want to know what he did.
Yeah, well, that's a very important point, because there are a number of patients that have these dramatic reversals of their disease, the remissions, unknown remissions. And there's a lot of people out there that have done one thing or another that are responsible for this, and those kinds of things need to be really, really investigated hard, because what we know, and a lot of those things are put into the so-called anecdotal category. Oh, it's an anecdote. You know, it happens rarely.
Well, you know what? But you know what? A study is just controlled anecdotes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. That's all it is. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as I always say, we need to. You're absolutely right. We need to investigate those things further. And if that phenomenon of your brother-in-law was in fact linked to a lower glucose levels, which was the data were not collected on that, obviously, but it could have certainly been, then it provides a mechanism by which the response was obtained. So then you can begin to link that into a change in the body's metabolism that was responsible in part with the chemo that was responsible for this. Again, I agree that we have to look more closely at these kinds of conditions. Because, we see this, and I say, chemotherapy used in lower doses and in the right combinations with the metabolic therapy could be very, very effective.
Right.
And also, these new drugs that people talk about, the so-called targeted therapies that the pharmaceutical industry is investing billions of dollars in, I look at those as the last part of the therapy, not the first part, but
right.
The last part.
Right.
When the cancer cells have now been restricted to one area of the body and a small number of cells where they all express the same kind of defect, then perhaps a targeted therapy would be perfect for eliminating the remainder of the tumor cells.
Right.
But not as an
upfront therapy. First-line defense, right.
No,
right, exactly.
It's not going to work.
Right.
It doesn't work.
I applaud you. I applaud the work that you're doing, and I wish you nothing but good luck in spreading the word and getting more people to understand this, because I think that what you are pointing to could actually turn the tables on cancer. Now, how long it will take in this society that's driven by big dollars and big pharma, that remains to be seen. But having this discussion over and over again is the beginning. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Seyfried, for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Take care.
Yep, by now.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
For the best in real world, no nonsense, result producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. So, we tried to do this interview last week, but due to technical difficulties, we couldn't get it done. And I'm very, very excited to have my next guest on the show. And he is Dr. Federico Bazzetti. How you doing, Dr. Bazzetti?
I'm very fine. You?
Good. Very, very good. And today we're going to be discussing moving towards a cancer-specific diet. And this is as a result of a paper that you published that I believe was in the Journal of Nutrition, correct?
The journal is Clinical Nutrition, which is the official journal of the European Society for Clinical Nutrition and Metabolism, which is one of the biggest societies on nutrition. The other right is the American Society for Intra-Intra Nutrition. This is the European Society for Clinical Nutrition.
Okay. So talk about the paper. Explain the premise of the paper, why you started to even look into this, the role that diet plays in cancer.
The main reason is due to the fact that I am a surgeon and oncologist, and I've seen that oncologists disregard this topic. I mean, they focus their attention in selecting the proper drugs for the patients, but they look more involved in fighting the cancer than in providing the benefit for the patients. And so they disregard the proper nutritional support. But we know that if the patient is in a good condition, and nutrition is extremely important for this, the patient can face aggressive chemotherapy and radiation and also surgical operation much better than patients who are starving or are losing weight and they do not receive any specific nutritional support. So the main message was that it is important to fight malnutrition and undernutrition in cancer patients. And the second point, as I have tried to explain in my paper, is that nutrition, of course, is very important, but when the patient is a cancer patient, and especially if he has an advanced disease, probably he requires a specific nutritional support. I mean, in the same manner that a patient with a liver insufficiency, liver failure, or a renal failure require a specific treatment and specific nutrition, in the same way an advanced cancer patient who is in a very bad nutritional status require a specific diet which is able, at least we hope, we think, to improve the general status of the patient without any dangerous stimulation of the tumor growth.
Now, some of the first observations that would lend the idea that nutrition is very, very important in a cancer patient is exactly what most clinicians use to identify a tumor, which is called the Warburg effect, correct?
Warburg effect, yes.
The Warburg effect, they watch the glucose be attracted into the tumor, so we know that the glucose is what feeds the tumor. And that alone would make one think that if a tumor thrives on glucose, then finding ways to reduce this glucose, either by way of calorie restriction or the utilization of a ketogenic diet, would make perfect sense for a person who is suffering from cancer, does it not?
I think that the problem is a bit more complex. You explain it very well, but you should consider that if we are studying experimental tumors in animals, we are in conditions which are sometimes, very often, extremely different from the condition of the human cancer patient, because this experimental tumor in animal are usually very big. Sometimes we saw in the literature, in the publication, that the tumor accounted for a high percentage of the body of the animal. For instance, tumor was so big that it accounted for 20% of the body of the animal. That would mean that a person of 50 kilograms, the tumor would approximately weigh 10, 15 kilograms, which is a quite unusual situation. So if you are in these conditions, it is possible that the tumor is very avid, very hungry of glucose. And if you reduce the glucose, this could impact on the tumor growth. But in the human, the situation is probably different. So the tumor is really small, and despite its hunger for glucose, it's quite difficult that the glucose of the diet can stimulate the tumor growth. What we have seen both in the animals but in humans and is that the ketoacid diet works in reducing the tumor growth both in animal and in some way also in the human, but in human the experience is very little, it's very modest, and very few cases have been studied, because if your diet mainly relies on fat, the metabolization of fat produces ketoacid, and tumor cells are not able to use ketoacid. So tumor cell, a certain number of tumor cells, which have a mitochondrial dysfunction. Mitochondria is a small organ within the cell, which is deficit to utilize the energy of the nutrients. So if you mainly rely on fat in your diet, this is bad for the tumor growth, while this is support the physiological status of the patient. So you can achieve a status of high level of ketone using a ketoacid approach without resorting to a calorie restriction,
right.
As is being written in these recent days in the newspaper, that calorie restriction could be beneficial for the patient. The mechanism is that if you increase the level of ketone bodies in the blood, this is bad for the tumor, while ketone bodies are very well utilized by all the tissue of the human body. So this can be a very, very useful approach for the cancer patient, especially when the patient is severely malnourished. If we consider nutritional support of a patient with a small tumor, I mean, or an early tumor, for instance, when the patient has just discovered an initial tumor and the patient is in good condition without any weight loss, it's not necessary to adopt a specific diet. It's important to maintain the weight of the patient as normal as possible, but especially when the patient is losing weight despite his diet, and you are obliged to intervene with the nutritional support or parenteral or enteral, that in these cases, using a high-fat diet, which produces high level of ketone bodies, may be useful for the patient.
Okay, I want to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the role of lean body mass, because obviously a healthy patient starting off with more body weight is going to survive when cachexia becomes an issue. But what role does lean body mass versus just fat mass have in this equation? We're talking right now with Dr. Federico Bazzetti. We're talking about moving towards cancer-specific diets. This is an important discussion. We cannot ignore the role that nutrition plays in managing cancer. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Have you tried Carbaline yet? It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbaline, the ultimate formulated-to-win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carbaline is the answer. Carbaline is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free. Best of all, you can try Carbaline right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarbaline.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarbaline.com. GetCarbaline.com.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Federico Bazzetti. We're talking about moving towards cancer-specific diets. So, Dr. Bazzetti, when you were talking before, it's clear that calorie restriction is not a good idea because most people who are dealing with cancer tend to undergo cachexia, which is dangerous weight loss. And so while starvation may kill the tumors, it may also kill the patient. But as you point out, the ketogenic diet, the ketones, the body seems to be able to sustain life using ketones as a source of energy, but the cancer cells don't like them, so it makes it more targeted to this. And ketogenic diets have also been shown to maintain
protein synthesis, so we don't have muscle wasting occur. What, how important is the muscle side of this, or is it just adequate if the patient it has a lot of body fat to get them through this process?
So I think you've been very, very clear. As a matter of fact, calorie restriction is dangerous because the patient goes on in a progressive emaciation and depletion, and so it continues in a vicious cycle of cachexia. And as a matter of fact, there are some advanced cancer patients who die with the tumor, but because of undernutrition. The patient has an advanced tumor, but the final cause of death is undernutrition.
Wow.
And this is especially true in the recent times, because we have seen a strong progress in oncological drugs, and patients are treated before with first-line chemotherapy, then if there is a progression, they move to the second-line chemotherapy or the third-line chemotherapy. And finally, it happens that patients enter in a phase of a chronic disease. They are full of tumor, and the tumor is in some way silent, or the progression is very low, and in this chronic phase, they risk to die early because they do not eat enough. So this is the role of the nutrition in that situation. And, of course, our goal is to maintain the lean body mass. What is the lean body mass? I think that all of you are perfectly aware that the patients, normal people, should not lose weight, but they should maintain a normal weight. But what is important if they lose weight? It's important because if they lose weight and they are not obese before the diet, they lose muscle mass.
Mm-hmm.
So the lean body mass is mainly muscle mass, not only muscle mass. Obviously, it includes also main organ like liver or kidney and so on. But mainly is the muscle. And the muscle is important for two main reasons. The first reason is that at least in a very concept of quality of life, but muscle mass is what guarantees us the movement. If I don't have a muscle mass, I'm confined to an armchair or to the bed, I cannot move.
Mm-hmm.
If muscle mass is depleted, I do not have the force of breathe deeply and I develop pneumonia. So muscle mass is important for the quality of life of all the day. But the other reason is the metabolic one. The muscle mass is a deposit of a protein, and the protein are the key element of our physiology, because protein are the antibodies, so immunoglobulin are protein. So are important for defense of organism against bacteria and virus. Enzymes are protein. Any hormone or vitamin can circulate into the blood because they are linked to some transport proteins.
Mm.
Proteins are contractile, so they make some work. So when you have a depletion of the muscle, you have depletion not only of your ability to move, but you have a risk that you do not have a reserve for mounting an anticorporal reaction against bacteria and virus, or to defend your body. If you need to undergo an operation, you need a good protein status because you need the healing of the wound. So it's extremely important when you are looking for the best diet, the optimal diet, to find a diet which is able to maintain the muscle mass and the lean body mass. If you give, for instance, a lot of calories, you can be able to obtain an increase in body weight because the patients only become more fat. But this is not your goal. Your goal is to improve lean body mass. And there is some preliminary study which has shown, that a ketogenic diet, obviously a ketogenic diet, which means that a high percentage of the caloric component of the diet is due to the fat, but also there is an important protein component of high quality protein, mm-hmm. are able to improve the lean body mass to maintain stable, or at least comparing patients who don't receive this diet, which go to a progressive depletion of the lean body mass, to maintain stable or even to increase the lean body mass in these patients. When we refer to the potential increase of the lean body mass, and especially of the muscle mass, through a ketogenic diet and a diet with a high quality amino acid, it is extremely also important if it is possible to combine this diet with exercise, because of the combination of exercise, active or passive exercise, muscular exercise, with an optimal diet, it represents the better treatment for increasing body mass.
Yeah, and now, but here's the challenge, and I'm so happy that we're having this discussion, because I've been saying on this show for 10 years that muscle is metabolic currency. It's very, very important to maintain muscle, especially into later life. But also because of a lot of the points that you just made that translate to dealing with challenging diseases as well. But here's the interesting question, and I'm going to ask you this question, and we're going to take a break, and I'm going to allow you to answer it in totality after the break. But most of the diets that favor the acquisition and maintenance of muscle also seem to produce higher levels of growth factors like IGF-1, which, in my humble opinion, and I'm not an oncologist and I'm not a scientist, gets a bad rap in the cancer world. But what I want you to think about this as we take the break. If we're looking to maintain muscle and do things that maintain muscle because this will give the greatest survival rate for the patient, how do we address the fact that it also increases IGF-1 simultaneously? We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to allow Dr. Federico Bozzetti to answer that question. Stay tuned.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936, wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Federico Bazzetti. We're talking about something that is really, really important, and that is the role of nutrition in treating cancer. We did a show about a year and a half ago that showed that individuals who underwent chemotherapy and were given a ketogenic diet had a much better both recovery rate and also remission rate than the individuals who were given the chemotherapy and allowed to eat whatever they wanted, which shows that there is some real differences in what a person eats and how it affects their cancer. But as we went into the break, I said that I completely agree with Dr. Bazzetti, the importance that muscle plays in metabolism and being ambulatory, but also in allowing a person to fight off the perils of this disease. Those diets that seem to cause a preference in both the acquisition and the preservation of muscle also seem to raise IGF-1, and IGF-1 is implicated across the board, and usually the goals to suppress it during cancer therapy. So what do we think about IGF-1 then, Dr. Bazzetti?
I don't think I have a precise answer to your question about IGF-1. But my impression as a clinician and working in this area is that the tumor per se is a a metabolic parasite of the host, and the tumor grows, continually grows, even if the host is depleted from growth factor, vitamins, and everything.
Yes.
Because as a metabolic parasite, the tumor catches all nutrients it needs from the reserve of the body. We have seen that, for instance, in Ibis, which were kept in the concentration camps, to develop, for instance, liposarcoma, which are tumor of the fat tissue, I mean, tumor of the energetic tissue per definition. And these patients, despite a condition of a chronic undernutrition and depletion, they were able to develop tumors. That means that when there is a mutation or more mutation which transform a normal cell to a cancer cell, these cells do not follow the normal physiologic role of the body. I mean, I guess one may be a very important factor for normal tissue, normal cell, and also for normal cell which are changing and are becoming cancer cells. But where they are, where the cells are degenerated and have a high proliferation rate because they have cancer cells, I don't think the IGF-1 maintain a pivotal role as it happens in a normal situation. For instance, we have seen, doing some experiment in a human, we had patients who had liver metastasis from colorectal cancer, and we administered glucose, an isotope of glucose, a stable isotope of glucose, and we did a PET scan of the normal liver and of the metastasis. And what we saw is that if we gave to the patients a high amount of glucose, I mean an amount necessary to maintain the patient in good condition, approximately 25 calorie of glucose per kilo, there was a stimulation of the metabolic activity within the normal liver, but not so evident in the cancer cell, in the metastatic liver. On the contrary, when we gave a lipid load, I mean a ketogenic diet, a ketogenic diet, we saw that there was some diminution of metabolic activity in the normal liver, and the metabolic activity of the cell didn't change so much. So my impression as a clinician, because I'm not a scientist, as you probably people intend, people work in laboratory and so on, but is that when there is a tumor, it has reached a metabolic autonomy, is not so easily influenced by the normal stimulus which regulates physiologically the body. And this is the reason why, as I wrote in the conclusion of my paper, there is more evidence that a ketogenic diet is useful for the host, for the patients, than a ketogenic diet is useful because it counteracts the tumor growth. So the metabolic effect on the host, on the patient, of a ketogenic diet are more demonstrated. There are some studies which have demonstrated how a lipid fat administration is well utilized in cancer patients, and the more the patient is depleted, the higher is the utilization of the fat. So this is the main reason for giving a ketogenic diet. Then there is some experience in animal, and that because of the Warburg effect and so on, if you, of course, give more lipid than glucose, the cancer cell may utilize glucose, and so this is not a favorable situation for them. But the best evidence is for maintaining the lean body mass of the patient, of the host.
Now, a true ketogenic diet requires 3 grams of fat to a combined 1 gram of protein and carbohydrates. So this is a very, very, very high fat diet. And we have to be careful not to give too much protein to the individual that wants to remain in a state of ketosis, because the protein can undergo gluconeogenesis and become glucose, obviously. But also there is some emerging evidence that these cancer cells can survive on glutamine, one of the amino acid found in most high-quality proteins. And so maintaining that state of ketosis requires a great deal of fat to be eaten, but you have a large portion of the dietary orthodoxy telling people that high-fat diets are very, very dangerous for them and bad. Have you been met with any resistance amongst the dietary orthodoxy, saying, look, you're suggesting people eat high-fat diets, which is basically what a ketogenic diet is? This is very dangerous.
I think your question is very appropriate. I would answer that a ketogenic diet, in patients requiring a ketogenic diet, considering our cancer population, this approach is to the patients who are in a advanced or late stage of their disease. So I don't think we should have the same warning we have when we recommend a fat diet in young, healthy people who perhaps follow this diet for many, many months or years. Usually this approach is made in patients, recommended in patients, whose life expectancy is over few months, not many years. So the time is unimportant. But you should also consider that in nature there is an experiment of ketogenic diet with Eskimos people. Eskimos people, especially during some period of the year, received a ketogenic diet, that means that fat represents 50% of right. The total calorie of the diet, and they eat this diet for 3 or 4 months, and they were studied from the metabolic point of view, and they do not have any problem with this diet. I would also add that probably these people eat a safe fat diet. I mean, a diet which is rich in polyunsaturated fats, not in saturated fats, and rich in omega-3 fats. So it's not enough to say that we should give a ketogenic diet without entering into detail in the qualitative composition of this diet. That should be a diet which very small, very limited quantity of saturated fat, mainly polyunsaturated or monounsaturated fat, and of course also enriched of omega-3 fatty acids. And the second point is that it's true that if you give amino acid, this amino acid can be oxidated, deaminated, and converted to glucose. But this mainly occurs when your diet is deficient in calories. If you give a proper amount of calories, it's, you give also a high quantity of amino acid, the vast majority of the amino acid will be utilized to enter in a protein synthesis processes. But what we want to increase the lean body mass is the muscle mass. So, you are right if you, I'm wrong if I would suggest a ketogenic diet without specifying the quantity of fat and the quality of fat for healthy people for many, many months or years. This should be an experiment which has never been performed, and I do not suggest this. The approach in the cancer patient we are discussing now, as I told you, is extremely different from this.
We're going to take our last commercial break, Dr. Bazzetti, and when we come back, we'll wrap up the discussion. It's a very, very good discussion. And we're talking right now with Dr. Federico Bazzetti. We're talking about moving towards cancer-specific diets. It's been a long time coming. We've talked about this for quite a few years now. Dr. Dominic D'Agostino, who is over at the University of Florida, has been on the show and has done a lot of research into ketogenic diets and cancer. And we get the message in this audience, but the mainstream needs to get the message too. So the more that we have scientific research in this area, the better it will be for those people out there who may be fighting cancer or have cancer in their future. Let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer e-books, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex. It's finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Have you tried Carbolin yet? It's what the pros use. At EFX Sports, we know athletes and we know what it takes to safely fuel their performance. That's why we created Carbolin, the ultimate formulated to win carbohydrate drink. Whether you want to quickly carb load before a big competition or you want to recover faster after a workout, Carbolin is the answer. Carbolin is sugar-free, gluten-free, and caffeine-free.
Best of all, you can try Carbaline right now absolutely free. Just head over to GetCarbaline.com and sign up to receive a free sample of this amazing carbohydrate formula. Once again, that's GetCarbaline.com. GetCarbaline.com.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Federico Bazzetti. We're talking about moving towards cancer-specific diets. We have diabetes-specific diets. We have diets for a variety of different disease states. Why not cancer, since we realize that diet plays a role in feeding cancer cells? It's very, very easy idea to get your head around. I think that more clinicians need to start paying attention to this. I applaud Dr. Bazzetti for doing this research. Okay, so last question I have for this interview, Dr. Bazzetti, is this. We know that the ketogenic diet is good when a person already has cancer, for both managing and maybe even eradicating in combo therapy with more traditional cancer therapies, eradicating the disease completely. There's quite a bit of emerging discussion here in the United States by some who are clinicians saying that a prophylactic effect can be experienced by putting yourself into a state of ketosis once a year for a couple weeks. And that way, if you have any precancerous cells or you have a family history of cancer, that you can actually protect against developing cancer. Do you think that diet can be used in a preventative step to avoid developing cancer?
Well, I want to answer completely, just briefly, your question of before, because you asked me about the danger of a ketogenic diet prolonged for many months or years, and I forgot to say
please,
that there are a certain number of children with refractory epilepsy, that means epilepsy which does not respond to any treatment, except a ketogenic diet, and unfortunately for them, but this patient, these small patients, are kept alive for many months and years, till 10, 12 years, through a ketogenic diet administered or by mouth, or through a gastrostomy, and without finding any important metabolic problem. So probably this is because the quality of the fat is severely monitored in that case. But anyway, concerning your last questions, honestly, I do not think, I'm not aware of any study which has demonstrated that keeping intermittent ketogenic diet, let's say, so for instance, once a week diet restriction, or total diet restriction one day for a week, or moderate restriction for many days, a week or a month, can be of benefit to normal people. Then we have an epidemiology of obesity both in Europe and the United States, and of course in this kind of a population, which we know are more exposed to the risk of cancer, because obesity is a risk factor for cancer, for many types of cancer. So not only decreasing obesity and the main approach is a correct diet and exercise is a benefit for them as regard the cardiovascular risk and so on. But it can be also useful for reducing the cancer incidence. But, while there is evidence that obesity is a risk factor for developing cancer, there is no demonstration, because this is much more difficult, that submitting a group of obese patients to a calorie restriction, a ketogenic diet, so they lose weight and lose fitness, this decreases the risk of developing cancer, because, of course, this is a study which would require many years of follow-up and also many years of compliance of obese people with a restricted diet, which is a very, very difficult task. So maybe in future the things are how do you suggest, and probably in the States there are some studies going on toward this direction, but nowadays there is no demonstration that this will be really useful for diminishing the cancer, at least in normal people. In obese people, maybe.
Yeah, I get it. Okay. Listen, Dr. Bizzetti, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today and for working with us to get you on the air. I know we had problems a couple times. This is a very, very important discussion. I commend you, and I hope that more people, more clinicians, and more of those who make dietary recommendations start to pay attention to this research.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you to you. It was a pleasure for me to speak with you and with people who have listened to this interview. Okay.
Take care. Ciao. All right, so there you have it. It's a continuation of a discussion that we've started a long time ago on this show. And more and more people are starting to get it. And the more and more clinicians talk about it, the better off we'll be. I also want to thank Ken O'Neill for coming on in such short notice. His website is transevolutionaryfitness.com. Check him out. And, of course, my first guest, that was a very, very interesting discussion with Dr. Michael Peterson about the role of the psychology of what we look like and what we tend to gravitate to from a political standpoint. Thank you very much for listening today. Tomorrow's Tuesday. Rob Regish is back, and we will have a Blueprint Power Hour during the first hour tomorrow, so don't miss that. We'll see you then. Thanks for listening today.